Turn with me now, if you would, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. On June the 10th of this year, that was a Wednesday night, it was 2.5 months ago, I preached from Psalm 23. And then on July 12th of this year, 1 month later, Brother Eric Floyd was here and he brought a Bible study to you from Psalm 23. We quote it all the time. A few of you heard me mention Psalm 23 verse 1 at our brother's funeral last Saturday in the eulogy. And then when we got to the graveside service, Brother Donnie Bell read Psalm 23. We referenced and we turned to and we read half of Psalm 23 in the message Sunday morning. And with all of that being said, we have to be in Psalm 23 tonight. We just have to be. I believe with all of my heart, this is the message of the evening. I pray that the Lord will bless us, greatly bless us by giving us a clearer understanding of a glorious truth that is in this text. Now let's begin by reading the psalm. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." One line in one of those verses is our message tonight. I'm going to tell you which one it is in just a moment. First, I want to tell you some events that happened that led me to an illustration that I believe, I truly, honestly believe, has brought a real clarity to me on the subject that we're going to look at tonight. I believe I have just entered into this and enjoyed this like I never have before. Our Lord preached in illustrations. That's how our Lord preached. Sometimes his entire message was an illustration. I remember whenever I first started preaching and I was, you know, soul searching on how do you preach? How should I preach? What do you say? It dawned on me one time, well, how did the Lord do it? Let's go read his messages. Our Lord preached in illustrations. The scripture calls them parables. It says, without a parable, without an illustration, he didn't preach to the people. The common people heard him gladly because they understood him. They understood what he was saying. And that's what an illustration does for us. It helps us clearly enter into something that we can relate to. It helps us see what is being said through something we can relate to. I believe this illustration has done just that for me. So let me give you some events that led up to the illustration. That's where we're going to start. Last Saturday, we had a funeral service for our dear brother, Karen's dad, Bill Grisham. After the funeral service was over, it was there in Crossville. After it was over, quite a few of us lined up in our cars for a funeral procession to go to the graveside service. Because I was talking to everybody like I do, I ended up being the second to the last car in line. Tony and Rita were the last car in line because I was talking to them. But one of the funeral directors, he came up to each of the cars and he asked us all to turn our flashing lights on. And when we were all ready, we headed out. It was probably about a 20-minute drive to the graveside service. I don't know for sure, but it was a decent amount of time. And there were quite a few cars in the procession. Now, I'm telling you this so that you can understand my drive from my point of view. There are quite a few cars in the procession. And it's a decent amount of time to get to the cemetery, and I was in the back. I believe the first intersection that we came to, we came out of the funeral home and we turned right, and I believe the first intersection we came to was a four-way stop. And when we got to this four-way stop, none of the other cars tried to go. They all let the whole procession drive right through. And as I was driving through, I was thinking in my mind, that's nice. That's honorable. I appreciate them doing that. It was very, very honorable. That town, everybody stopped. Did you notice that? Everybody stopped. And the whole time I was thinking, that's nice. That is honorable. But then after that four-way stop, we got into downtown Crossville, and the first traffic light that we came to was green when the beginning of the procession went into it. But in the middle of the procession, it turned to red. It went yellow and then it went red. And I saw this happening. And as I saw it, I thought, oh no, we're going to get separated. What are we going to do? Thankfully, I didn't have to make that decision. There were a few cars in front of me. But I was still worried about it. I just saw that. And you know how it is, split second. And I thought, you know, we need to make a decision. What are we going to do here? I don't remember how it was in Franklin, but living in Rocky Mount for 10 years, whenever they had a funeral service, the police officers went to all the traffic lights and changed the traffic lights and made them red for everybody else and flashing yellow for the procession so everybody knew we have the right of way. But it didn't happen that way here. It went green for everybody else, and it went red for us. And some people are considerate of funeral processions, but some people are not. So in this brief moment, I just didn't know what to do. I just didn't know what we were going to do. A few cars in front of me, as I said, they went on through the red light. So I followed them. I went on through the red light. Brother Tony behind me went on through the red light. And then the car behind him, who did not have his lights flashing and was not in the procession, stopped. All right. We went all the way through downtown. We went on out of town where all the restaurants are. And I'm sure this wasn't the case, but to me, it seemed like every traffic light that I went under was red. That's just what it felt like. I was noticing these traffic lights as I went under them. They were all red. On every one of them, I thought, this doesn't feel right. I'm running a red light. I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm not allowed to do this. You know that feeling every now and then when you accidentally, hopefully, run a red light. You're like, oh, I just ran a red light. Who saw? That's the first thing you want to know. Who saw? Who saw? Who saw me do that? Am I about to get pulled over? Am I about to get a ticket? Right? With each one of them, we went through stoplight after stoplight, red light after red light. And all the other cars were stopped so we could do it. We did it. And as I kept going under these red lights, the whole time I was thinking, there has to be an illustration in this. Normally, I don't do that. Normally, illustrations come after the fact. But going through each one, I thought, there has to be an illustration in this. I didn't know what it was. But in my mind, I was just thinking, this has to be an illustration somehow. Well, when we got to the graveside service, Brother Donnie read Psalm 23. And when he got to the end of verse 3, he read this line right here. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When he read that, this entire illustration came to my mind. The first thing I thought was, I just drove through at least, I'm thinking, 10 red lights. And after every one of them, it was said, no sin. After every one of them, no sin. No sin. I went under red light after red light. Justified. You are just and right. Righteousness. 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 The paths of righteousness. And everybody around us stopped in plain sight to witness that it was so. Who saw? Everybody. They stopped. They all pulled over. It blessed my heart. One family was in a parking lot, and as we were going by, they got out of their car and stood there as we walked by, and I thought, honorable. All of them stopped and witnessed that it was so. Now, let me tell you something about our Lord. And then I want to apply what we see concerning him to our illustration. Don't turn to these. Let me just quote them to you. Psalm 71, verse 16 says, I will make mention of thy righteousness. That's what I'll talk about. This is what I'm going to talk about. Christ's righteousness. Jeremiah 23, verse 6 says, His name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Christ is made unto us righteousness. Now, this entire word right here, everywhere you turn, it says we don't have a righteousness of our own, a worthiness, a perfection, a goodness, a rightness before God. We do not have our own righteousness. Not at all. Not at all. Don't even think about any righteousness that we have being our own, as though we earned it and did something good and worked to earn our own righteousness. Nothing in us, nothing by us, nothing because of us could ever earn our own righteousness. We're just too sinful. We're sinful, sinful, sinful. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means me, that means you. Sinners, sinners, sinners. That's what this book says. Unrighteous, unholy. That's what this book says. Romans 3 says, there is none righteous in themselves. No, not one. You telling me that there's not one person on this earth who is righteous and justified and worthy to enter in? No, not one. Not one. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, all of our righteousnesses, that means every good deed that we have piled up, you know, that we think is going to earn us something before God and He's going to be happy with us. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags, all of them. His righteousness, His goodness, His perfection, Christ's righteousness is the only righteousness that we have because it is the only righteousness that there is. He Himself said, there is none good but God. That man came up to Him and said, good master. He said, why do you call me good? Everybody thinks they're good. Everybody thinks there's a little bit of good in everybody. Well, there's something in there that we'll pass on through. He said, there is none good but God only. The only righteousness that there is the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, Romans 10 verse 4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now may God let this sink in. I've been praying for us. I've been praying that the Lord would bless this to us like He's blessed it to me. Here's what all this means. Everything that Christ does is right. Everything that Christ does is right. Even in the way that He took our sin from us and bore our judgment for us, the way that He shed His blood to pay our debt for us in order to redeem us back to God, everything He did in that was right. It was yea and amen. In the righteous substitution of Himself for His people, the way He took the place of His people and allowed His people to take the place of Him, because He stood in our place, they stand in His. We stand in His. He put away all of our wrong, all the wrong concerning His people, and He satisfied. This is what we say over and over. Here's the gospel. Substitution and satisfaction before God. That's the gospel. Not how are you going to fix what you messed up. That's not the gospel. It's the substitution of Christ with His people and satisfying the judgment of God and satisfying His Father. He satisfied all of the judgment against His people for their wrong, and He established their right. He satisfied all their wrong, and He established right for them in its place. He took all that wrong away, and in its place, He put right. The Scripture says He made them to be holy, blameless, without blame, pure. The Scripture says, this is what the Scripture says. It says, He perfected them forever. That's what He accomplished for His people. They are right in Him. They are right by Him. They are right through Him, not because of what they do on their own, but because of what He did for them. That's what His death accomplished for His people. Righteousness for them. Holiness for them. Perfection for them. It satisfied and put away their wrong and established their right. Only in Him. They are righteous in Him. They're righteous because of Him. In Him, God's people are only right because He is only right. He leads them in the paths of righteousness. That doesn't just mean that He only stands for the right way. He'll only take them down the right way. It doesn't just mean that. What it means is He is the right way. He's the right way. He doesn't do something because it's right. It's right because He does it. He is righteousness. Whatever He does is righteousness. If He's doing it, it's righteousness. Every path He takes is a path of righteousness. Psalm 16:11 says, His path is the path of life. Psalm 25 verse 10 says, All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Psalm 27:11 says, His path is a plain path. That means a straight path of justice, equity, and uprightness. Proverbs 2 verse 9 says, It's a good path. And let's read this last one together. Hold your place right here and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah 2, verse 3. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways. And we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Let me repeat and bring our attention to, we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. All right, now let's apply all of this to our illustration. Back in Psalm 23, the end of verse 3 says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Here is the fullness of the illustration. This is everything that came into my mind. When we lined up in that procession line, we lined up in a particular order, and this was the order. The front car, you remember what the front car was? The front car was the police officer. The law itself. Just behind him, in the car right behind that, was our beloved. Just like when Boaz was going to redeem Ruth. This is what he said to her. He said, There is a nearer kinsman to you that has to be satisfied first. That nearer kinsman represents the law itself that we've sinned against. That's the reason Christ our Savior died. That's the whole reason. It was so that the law against us could be satisfied. That's the whole reason. Well, in the path of our procession, the law was leading the way. As I was going under those red lights, looking back on it now, As I was going through those red lights, the law was leading the way. Not only was I not condemned, for every red light I went under, the law led the way. Think about that. The law led me through it. I was following Him. The law said, I'm satisfied. No charge will be laid to your account. And all those witnesses, they stood still watching the whole thing. All of us go right through there, and the whole time they were saying, honorable. Honorable. You're justified in doing so. They sat there and said, so be it. Amen. After you. Now, why was everything saying that? Why was the law saying that? Honestly, why were we justified in doing that? One reason only. Bill Grisham. One reason only. It's only because we were with Him. That's the only reason. It was only because it was in the name of Him. Had I done that same thing outside of Him, had I come back a few hours later and done that same thing, taken that same path, gone under those same red lights, outside of the name of Him, outside of being with Him, that exact same law, I mean the very same car, that exact same law would have arrested me and condemned me and locked me up, wouldn't it? That same law would have cried, guilty, guilty, guilty. But for Bill's sake, it cried, righteousness, 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 justified, no sin, no condemnation. That's exactly what the holy law cries concerning us. If we are God's people, for Christ's sake, that's what the holy law cries, for Christ's sake. It cries, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We're sitting here crying, but don't you see what I've done? Didn't you just see me do that? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. All because of Christ's death and all because of His burial, He, in full agreement with the law that He satisfied, leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We're just following Him. In His name, in His righteousness, every sinner that has been joined together with Christ, every one of them, every sinner who pleads the name and the love and the grace and the mercy and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him it will only ever be said, no sin. No sin. In Him is no sin. None whatsoever. Only paths of righteousness, and it's all for His name's sake. Now that's good news. That's good news if you're a sinner who's constantly saying, didn't you see what I just did? That's the best news you'll ever hear. Pray the Lord will make that a blessing to our heart. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.